Welcome, everybody. We are having so much fun already.
Yes, it's so good to be together again.
It is. We haven't, like, done recording for a while because we got ahead on some things. So we are filled with joy to be talking to you.
Yes. Together, we're better.
Yes, we are. So, welcome to the Tapestry of Your Life, and we're going to talk about Impact Your World that Pastor Doug preached about on April 17th, 2024.
This is Melissa and Nadine.
Oh, yeah. I just assumed you all knew who we were at this point.
But for our new listeners...
Yes, I'm Melissa.
And I'm Nadine. Melissa's so excited to jump into the scriptures. I had to raise my hand.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. Yes. Okay, so it's about impacting your world. So first, I think this might be the only two things I have. It says, how to impact your world. Number one, please God. And number two, be about the kingdom business and share the gospel.
Yes.
So it's very simple concepts, like please God, be about the kingdom business, and share the gospel. So the first scripture I have written down is in Luke 11:1, which I think you have, right?
Luke 11:1 says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus proceeds to say what the church world is familiar with, the Lord's Prayer.
Right. So I wrote down, like, how much prayer has, like, impacts your world, basically. Because they never asked Jesus how to teach them how to heal the sick or raise the dead or cast out demons or to multiply food or how to do the miracles. Like, they didn't ask him any of that stuff. They could, like, watch it and do it. But they specifically asked, like, Lord, teach us how to pray. Like, how are you doing that, basically?
Yes, that was astounding when Pastor Doug said that. I'm like, you know, I never put that together.
Right.
That is a great point to be aware of.
Yeah. And so, like, learning how to pray is going to lead to all of those other things as well, too. Because, like, that's where he got, like, strengthened with the Word of God. That's where he strengthened his relationship and got information and revelation and studied the scriptures and things, too. I mean, he really spent time and made sure that he got alone and talked with the Father.
Yes. That is being about the kingdom of God.
Yeah. And the more that you please God, the greater your impact will be. So the more that you're in communication with him, the more that you're operating in faith, you're following his instructions, like, the more your impact is going to be because the more you're pleasing God.
Yes.
Which reminds me of, like, kids, you know?
Right.
Like, kids misbehave in certain things, but when they follow your instructions, you give them more favor, right? Because, you know, you can trust them. They're listening to what you're saying. Like, you know, they're not going to, like, go astray in different things. So, like, it increases, like, the favor and that you can do because you trust them. Because you developed a relationship with them and you know how it works and functions.
Right.
Okay. And so, the next one, next scripture is Luke 2:37. Which is about Anna.
2:37?
Yeah. I'm flipping. Luke wrote a lot.
Yes. I've been looking at the Gospel of Luke and Acts, the book of Acts, because the same author, Luke, wrote both. And it's in Acts where he says, I wrote the Gospel of Luke, my first letter to you, about the life of Jesus, what he accomplished on earth.
Yeah.
I'm writing you the second book, which we refer to as the book of Acts, to show you what Holy Spirit is doing in the believers of Jesus Christ. So I realized, no, wait a minute, it's a sequel.
Is that part two?
Yeah. So I should read the two back to back, or like read Luke right into Acts.
Yeah.
That's how Jesus set it up. He came to show us the Father, show us who we are. And then when he left, he said, I'm leaving you Holy Spirit. So that's part two of the same act.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to put it together. And yeah, I've been doing that the past week or two. I've been in Luke and Acts. I've jumped into John where Jesus was talking to the disciples about, I'm leaving, but it's better that I leave so I can, the Holy Spirit can come.
Yeah.
So that's part of the whole picture. So yes. So we're in Luke 2.
Yes. And so verse like 36, 37, it says, a prophetess named Anna was also in the temple court that day. And she was from the Jewish tribe of Asher and the daughter of Phanuel. Anna was an aged widow who had been married only 7 years before her husband passed away. After he died, she chose to worship God in the temple continually. For the past 84 years, she had been serving God with night and day prayer and fasting.
So her service to God was prayer and fasting.
Yeah. Yeah, night and day, too. Like, it was continual. For 84 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, like, her reward was to see, like, the Savior.
Right.
Yeah.
Anna and Simeon, apart from Mary and Joseph, probably the innkeeper and his family, right?
Yeah.
The shepherds and the wise men. They were the next people to see the Son of God in the flesh.
Yeah. And like to recognize it as a baby. Yeah. And not wait until he was like, you know, 30.
So I'm thinking about the importance, like this, why was it important that Anna and Simeon, that they were promised, you will not leave the earth until you see the promised Messiah. That was important.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that was a promise given to them. I'm thinking, you, in my life, Lord, I want to see and accomplish every promise you have for my life before I leave the earth.
Right.
Jesus still would have come in the flesh. He still would have been born whether they fulfilled their part. Like, it wasn't hinged on their obedience.
Right, yeah.
But it's part of their reward and the blessing of God.
Yeah.
And that was so important to the Father to give them that promise. Wait, before you come to heaven with me, I want you to hold my son in the flesh. I want you to prophesy over him and bless him.
Yeah.
That's a great picture of God's partnership with people.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it's Malachi, right? It's the last book of the Old Testament.
I think so.
Yeah. And I just remember, so Pastor Doug was saying that, like, that was the last book that was written before Jesus came. Like, 400 years, right?
Yes.
I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, they got to remember and see that prophecy from, at a minimum, of 400 years ago actually come to pass, like, right before their eyes. Like, they got to participate in that. Like, it wasn't, like, new, but it was kind of new because it was, like, nothing had happened for, like, 400 years. And, like, now it's here, you know?
And that, wasn't it 400 years that the Israelites, the Hebrews, were in Egypt as slaves? It was 400 and something.
Yeah, it was like 410 or something.
So
they ended up a little bit longer than they needed to be. But
I just realized it's the same length of time.
Yeah.
The 400 years. I wonder if there's another section of 400 years. We'll have to look into that.
We will. And do all the numbers researching.
Yeah.
But yeah, isn't that amazing? And like, and that was her reward, like, for praying.
Yes.
And it was just great joy. And like, she was so excited. Then she told everybody in Jerusalem who was waiting. Anybody who came to church, I'm sure she was telling them, like, the Messiah is here. And like,
yes. And that's part of being about kingdom business. It is telling the good news.
Yeah. And so after that, in verse 41, then it talks about the story, like, when Jesus was 12 years old, right? Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem during the Passover. And when he was 12, you know, they were still doing the same thing, going to see the Passover. And they started to go home, and after a whole day, they realized, oh, Jesus isn't with us. And so, you know, they had to, like, take the whole day back, and then they spent a whole day looking for him and different things. And they finally find him in the church, right, in the synagogue. And he was sitting among the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions, and all who heard Jesus speak were astounded at his intelligent understanding of all that was being discussed and as his wise answers to their questions. And, you know, Mary and Joseph were like, you know, we've been looking for you everywhere. Why didn't you tell us where you were? And Jesus' response was like, why would you need to search for me? It's around verse 49, by the way. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my Father's house, consumed with him or being about the Father's business, right? So
it was necessary.
Yeah.
And my translation says that I must be. So, Lord, we declare that Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, and the lost are compelled to be in the house of God, the church of Jesus. We're his body.
Yeah.
And we need the same fervency that Anna and Simeon had.
Yeah.
They did not want to miss out on the promise of God so greatly that they did not leave God's house.
Right.
They chose to live right there so they would not miss. That is like Acts when Jesus told them, go to the upper room and wait for the promised gift of the Father. There's an importance of being in God's house, being in the place that Jesus instructs us to be in. Because I feel like there's an attitude or a mindset of, well, God is everywhere and he sees everyone and he knows that I love him and I can meet with him anywhere because of what Jesus has done for us. That the value of God's house is missed. And Anna and Jesus and Simeon are showing us this, the importance.
Yeah.
You have to be in the house of God. You have to be. It's a must. It's a of necessity, I think your translation said.
Yeah, it says, didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be here in my Father's house? And I like how it says consumed with him.
Yes.
Like, so being about the Father's business and different things, it's simple. Like, you know, being, like, consumed by his presence and, like, your desire just to, like, be in his presence. He's like, didn't you know this is where I would be? Like,
yes. So that consuming.
Yeah.
That's loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Because that's all of you. So that would be a consuming. Consuming means all, right? I consumed all the pie.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even leave one crumb.
Yeah. It's like all of you, right? Mm-hmm. Like it is 100% participation. And you see it a lot with like sports, like boxers and different things. Like the people at the top of their field, like, you know, they, a lot of people might call it obsessive, but they are consumed with their desire for whatever it is, whether it's, you know, some sort of sport or like their field or their career or whatever it is. Like those people, they have a mindset, and when they're in that moment, like they are completely consumed by like the passion and like the drive and the determination that they have to win.
Yes. And so I've been noticing the importance of momentum.
Yeah.
So consume and momentum have to go together, because consumed with something, you build a momentum.
Like a snowball.
Yeah. Yes. You think about it all the time. You line up your schedule, you line up your finances, your work, you know, the choices that we make are lined up in a momentum. It's not a standstill.
Which I thought of another word for momentum was like accumulation.
Oh, yeah. which yeah. the snowball would picture, because exactly. the momentum is accumulating more snow.
Yeah. Which, and it builds up more speed and more weight and more force. So, like, it is much, that's what makes it more difficult to stop. Because, you know, like, there's two ways that you can have, like, more force, and it's more speed and more, like, mass. And so, like, getting both of those things is, like, greatly increases the force that something has.
Yes.
Because, I have to share this. I was on a walk this morning, and I was, like, dropping stuff into the water, right? Yeah. Like, just other droplets of water and different things. And I was noticing, you know, bigger water droplets made, like, you know, more ripples, and little water droplets still made ripples, but just not as many. And so I got to thinking about, like, you know, if the water was, like, the word of God, right? And we have, like, one word of God or one revelation, like, right. It still has the same effect, right? But it doesn't have the same effect as for when it's, like, more water, right? Even though it's, like, the same pattern, and you're still going to get the same result, yeah. right? Because it still circles rippling out. But the amount of it is based on, you know, how much, like, weight and force there is from whatever it is you're dropping. Right. Because I thought about it, like, you know, marbles are pretty dense, but they're right. but they're little. So they don't make, like, a big splash, right?
Right.
And I was thinking, like, oh, you know, there's, like, big, those big airy, like, balls and stuff like that that are, like, super light. Like, they're huge, but they don't make that much of an impact either because they're so light. Like, it just, like, yeah. floats and sits on top of the water. So I was like, then I thought of a bowling ball. And I was like, see, the bowling ball is what we want because it's big and it's dense. And so that's why I started thinking about, like, the accumulation. Like, you can start small, but you get, like, more and more layers, right, of, yes. like, revelation of the word of God, of your authority, of your identity. And it creates, like, that's what creates, like, the bigger spread and the bigger ripple effect. Because I was thinking about preachers and how, you know, the word of God will always be effective, but, you know, you can see some preachers have, like, bigger churches and, like, a much more of a huge reach than other people do. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that illustration helped me realize, like, the difference. And part of it was, like, accumulation. Like, right? Accumulating more of the word and revelation and using that and, ta-da, more ripples.
Right. And part of that whole scenario is hooking yourself up with other people
yeah.
going in the same direction with the same passion. I need to find where the reference is, but the scripture that says one can send 1,000 to flight.
Yeah.
Two can send 10,000.
Yeah.
That's the same idea that we're talking about.
Yes.
That's why we like to do podcasts together.
We do. So much revelation. Okay, we're going to pause there. We didn't even get through, like, half my notes for this one. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.